say that, like, one time you went to a gay bar in Soho with, like, your brother, your older brother.
Yeah, it was probably my 19th or 20th birthday, or 21st birthday. It was a special birthday. That's why my brother was there. Not that my brother's not great and I haven't seen him on other birthdays, but, like, he's like he's kind of like my half brother, so I didn't, like, grow up with him all the time around and everything, and so, like, it must have been a special birthday for him to have been with us all as well. And yeah, it was my 21st and we were in Soho. I went for a drink in Old Compton Street, and my brother was getting hit on pretty heavily. And you know, he had his new, I don't know if Jen was his fiance. Yeah,
at the time.
I think it must have been his fiance. And yeah, she was not happy. She was not having it.
Was she really unhappy with that?
She wasn't keen on.
Oh no, what a spoil. I would have thought it was hilarious.
We were all laughing a lot. We were all having a great time.
I would have thought it was so funny if you were, like, getting your butt pinched by
I wasn't getting my butt pinched.
Oh.
I think gay guys have, like, a good
sense of who's
radar
gay.
On, like, who's gay and not. But then besides that, I think there's the ones that like a challenge.
What are you saying?
But they like they see, like, a really good looking straight looking guy, like my brother, exactly, like he's an ex-squaddy, like, you know, in shape, he used to do Iron Man marathons and shit, like, you know.
You're basically implying that your brother looks gayer than you.
He doesn't look gayer than
but
me,
he's more stereotypically masculine
yeah,
than you are.
He looks more straight edge and, like, typically masculine and, like, handsome, I guess.
Yeah,
whereas I'm more of your, like,
hippie,
you know, dollar store Charles Manson Russell Brand knockoff kind of, like, vibe.
That's my favorite flavor of the rainbow. It's my favorite flavor of the white boy rainbow.
Like, oh my god.
Might be a cult leader, might be a serial killer, might be a cool stoner. That's my type.
It upset me the other day. I saw, like, talking about your favorite flavor of white boys, and just the phrase white boys just triggered it in my mind.
What?
I saw them trying to say that it's going to be Hot Boy Summer 2, Part 2, or the comeback of Hot Boy Summer. And I got very confused because I thought it was White Boy Summer.
Yeah, they changed it. They did smudging. They tried to memory hole White Boy Summer and do this, like, Orwellian, like, mind game where they changed it to Hot Boy Summer.
Why?
Because White Boy Summer is too controversial.
That's too
edgy.
It's too Nazi adjacent to call something a White Boy Summer.
You're not allowed to call it White Boy Summer anymore. It's Hot Boy Summer.
Is that only January 6th is call it White Boy Summer?
Exactly.
Is that the kind of vibe?
Exactly.
Like, that. It's pretty crazy, man.
But my whole problem is everybody keeps trying to claim the summer as their own. So black people in America now have, like, Juneteenth. The white boys are claiming White Boy Summer.
What's Juneteenth?
I have no idea. I really actually don't know.
Aren't you on Black Twitter?
No, not really.
I thought you were a part of Black Twitter.
I have like accounts that I follow that are, like, Black Twitter, like, adjacent or whatever.
Okay.
For, like, the tea. On what's going on in the community.
Get an update on Umar Johnson's
but, like,
hospital.
I'm not African American, so I'm not sure. I think this is just my wild guess. I think that it's when this emancipation, it's like a celebration of the emancipation or something along those lines, but obviously it was just recently made a holiday.
Oh, well, that's like, you know, that sounds like a totally... I'm surprised that's not a holiday already. That's kind of like quite a big thing.
Yeah, I mean,
thing.
I don't have an issue with it, but it seems like everyone's fighting over the summer to try to claim it for their specific identity now. So you have, like, Juneteenth, fucking White Boy Summer. You have Pride as well, which goes on in the summer. Everyone's just, like, trying to claim the summer as, like, their thing. And it's like, well, I don't want to hang out with any of you. I want to, like, fucking enjoy the summer the traditional way, you know, going to festivals and, like, traveling and stuff. Like, I don't have any interest in, like, having my plans for recreation be centered around my identity. Like, I can't imagine, like, living or thinking that way.
I got plans for chugging whiskey and listening to Pantera. Making this the best white boy summer yet.
can't believe you're going down the identity route, Jake. It was supposed to be an Angie and Jake summer. It was supposed to be a swirl summer.
Oh, you can't listen to Pantera during White Boy Summer. They have a southern flag on as their emblem.
I didn't know you were going to go that far. Jesus. Keep it in. No, but I think it's weird that, like, all the different identity communities want to claim the summer for their own and, like, sort of have the summer be associated with the time where we all have to reflect upon, like, their specific, like, you know, ad campaign for their political ideology. And also, like, inevitably around this time of the year, Pride happens, and along with Pride comes, like, the yearly, like, moral panic around some of the displays that happen in, like, different cities. And I'm not gonna lie, some of them have been particularly wild this year.
Yeah.
It seems like they just keep ramping it up and ramping up because they're afraid that, like, people will get bored, so every year they have to, like, do something more and more outlandish. Which kind of, like, I guess lends credence to my theory that, like, Pride really isn't about gay rights or celebration, and it hasn't been for a really long time. It's more just a place where the cultural id can run wild now, in my opinion. Like, some of the stuff I've been seeing, like, grown men walking around, like, fully naked. Like, there was a video of, like, a grown man, he was wearing, like, a bunny mask, and he was, like, gyrating around, and just like the whole King Cat Pride thing, it just shows that it's more of a bacchanal than it is anything like really political. It's like a bacchanal that's given a commercial sheen, but the idea that it has any sort of deep political meaning at this point is ridiculous, you know?
Do you reckon they'll ever include furries in
there?
The
are already
alphabet?
There's all there are, it's everything. It's like an outlet for all of like the repressed drives. And if I was a gay person, I would be annoyed by that. I would be annoyed that, like, all the repressed drives now are, like, this is, like, the place, the cultural stage for all of society's repressed drives to express themselves, you know? Which is why I feel like if people understood that, the moral panics would be less, because it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with, like, gay rights. It's, like, just a bacchanal, basically. It's, like, a carnival for, you know...
The only difference, you know what it really is now, like, especially in, like, I work in Soho, like, I'm in central London quite a lot, and, like, yeah, it's just a lot of flags, and then when you go into the shop, there's, like, a Pride section, or it's, like, the front of the shop is a Pride thing.
But Soho's already, like, the gayest part of London, though, because it's, like, a the historical gayborhood of London.
No, my point is, it's, like, it's just a commercial thing.
Yeah.
It's not, like, you know... Like,
I think it's both.
I haven't seen anything crazy in like people fucking in the streets, no, or like naked people in the streets,
but
or anything like
that.
It's
both a commercial thing and sort of it's a political thing, but not necessarily a political thing that's linked to gay people's rights. It's more of a political thing that's linked to like power,
the stock index.
Well, yeah, that and also, you know, many other things. The military industrial complex is now adopting it. The CIA even was tweeting Happy Pride at the beginning of the month. Like, there's a lot. It's like layers upon layers of like the sort of cynical weaponization by the establishment, commercialism, and also like just society's repressed drives using the LGBT banner as like a way of laundering itself or expressing itself, basically. Which is kind of how I view it. And if I was a gay person, I'd be very annoyed by that. Like, it would, personally, if it was me, it would make me not want to participate at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's fun stuff. Like, my best friend in college, she's a lesbian, and I used to go to Pride with her once in a while. And it was fun, like, to go dancing and, like, to, you know, see the music and the spectacle and stuff. But, like, when there was that really viral picture that came out recently, I think it was Oxford Street or somewhere, where, like, the Pride flag, the new one with all of those different weird colors.
Oh, yeah.
Was, like, there were, like, hundreds of them hanging, and it looked like something out of, like...
Oh, yeah, I was walking to meet
some
my...
Some kind of, like...
I was walking to meet my buddy at work, and, like, off... Oxford Street, you see all of the flags as you like look down it, but then as you go up New Oxford Street, which is like carrying on up past the Dominion Theatre, it just continues all the way up to Holborn. Yeah, all the way up to Holborn, like, just like a mile walk, probably. It was a nice day, so I was just walking.
The thing
it.
Is, you normally see that kind of display for something that...
Kim Jong-un, like...
well, something that supposedly represents a consensus, a societal consensus, whether it's like a...
Yeah, Kim Jong-un.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, some kind of consensus in terms of a hegemony, whether it be, like, a government ideology or political party or national identity, regardless of whether it's, like, not really a consensus and it's imposed by above, the illusion is still, this is a consensus thing. It's something that represents a collective identity that we all agree upon. That's like the hegemonic thing. And I think the reason why there was such an aversion to seeing the new pride flag displayed in such a theatrical, gaudy, like, someone on Twitter said that it would be like if Jodorowsky like created some fascist party symbol or something. And it's like, yeah, like that, it being displayed with such prominence ascribes to it a certain amount of socio-political weight. To the weight of national identity, to the weight of political affiliation, to the weight of... And that's, I think, the reason why it gives people pause. Because it's like, isn't this just about people who fucking and, like, who they fuck and allowing them to fuck?
I'd be scared of asking... I love Jodorowsky and have so much respect for him as an artist. I think he's, like, one of the most important creative minds of, like, the 20th century.
He's my fave.
I would be really concerned with asking him, what do you think about, like, pride? Because I'd be always like, to be gay is to rape.
Say something really out there because, and, like, politically incorrect.
Because he seems to use that word
rape
like
a lot.
Yeah, but
no,
like
he
not
used
always.
It once.
No,
he used it once in the Dune documentary where he was talking about Dune, and he was talking about how he didn't respect Frank Herbert's text.
No,
and how he raped
no,
the text
he's,
or whatever.
He's definitely used that word in like. I've seen him use that word a lot. That's why it stands out to me. Like he says that it's like a, obviously that's such a specific and horrible thing. And the way that, and the fact that I've seen him say in interviews or talks, like in multiple different things, it's sort of like, you think that means something else, I think.
But
like,
he also said that he also said that he allegedly raped the lady in El Topo who he had that violent sex scene with. And that was what got him in trouble / cancelled or whatever. And my thought was, okay, maybe he did do that. Or maybe he also thinks the word rape means... rough sex, and sort of uses it in that context because English is like his third language,
exactly.
But I don't know. I don't want to get into that. But regardless, I liked the comparison with like some kind of absurdist Jodorowsky like thing, and that's kind of what it is. Like it's like displayed on the same level, the same prominence as like national identity or political ideology or any of the other things that flags typically represent, especially when they're displayed with such prominence. And I think that that's what gave people alarm is like, hang on a second, is this LGBT stuff like supposed to be on that level? Or is this just about people fucking and having the right to have sex with whoever they want to have sex with? But it is an ideology. And to deny that would be to deny reality, in my opinion. And the reason why it's so expanded is because like they want to expand the definition of LGBTQ++ so that it literally includes everyone, because even to the most basic sexual proclivity, like the term demisexual, meaning needing to have an emotional connection with somebody who you're having sex with, is also shoved under the LGBT umbrella, which is like everyone. Or the term queer, which is like super nebulous. I remember seeing this TikTok of some queer theorist talking about how Tom Holland and Zendaya are a queer couple because they subvert gender roles, despite the fact that like they're a heterosexual couple, a man and a woman. They're still viewed as queer according to this thing, because I don't know, she wears baggy clothes and like he's kind of a little bit of a twinkie looking dude or whatever, which to me is completely absurd. But according to this new ideology, like, yeah, anything that's not, like, standard 1950s, like, heterosexual social relations is, like, queer. So, like, we are queer because, like, for instance, I work, too. I'm not just, like, a housewife. I, like, have a job, several jobs, actually. But, like, I have many jobs and vocations and things that I'm interested in, and I'm not just, like, in the kitchen. So that means that I'm, like, occupying a less feminine role, which makes us a queer couple, which is just, like, I mean, according to that logic, that's kind of what it's saying.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. It is obviously being expanded to, like, try to suck everything into it. Anyone who feels even the slightest bit weird or alienated, this is the place for you to express your feelings and be accepted. And, of course, if you don't have any, like, of course, there's a reason, there's a political reason why it's being expanded to this absurd degree, but also the reason why so many people who have other forms of pathology find the LGBT umbrella so attractive is because it's like, you know, every freewheeling definition, everything goes, bring everything here, all the repressed drives, which is why I feel every year at Pride, something absurd or outlandish or inappropriate occurs, because there are lots of people who are using this like as a way to launder their like baggage, and it doesn't have very much to do with like gay rights or anything.
No, and like the whole like it being an ideology thing, like I don't know if it's you know that what the I don't think there's any science to swing it in whatever direction, if you know what I mean. Like there was that really crazy viral Bill Maher bit like a month ago or so, where he was showed the statistics of people that felt they were anything but straight, basically, through the decades, and the sort of argument that people feel more comfortable now, so more people are gonna come out. And it was like, you know, like nearly 2/3 or something of like, you know, the newest generation feel like they're not straight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and then it makes the silly joke of like, we'll all be gay by 2050.
Yeah.
But
the idea that there isn't an incentive.
Yeah, but is the ideology that, yeah, straight people have just been running, feel like they've been running the show for too long, and actually we're all gay. Well, like the majority of people are gay. And it's like, is that actually reality? Or like, if you even question that, are you deemed like some sort of homophobic person? Or is it that maybe, you know, it's encouraged and talked about around children like way too much, and then they kind of feel like it's a trendy thing and they gain social favor and are treated differently because of it, and all those sorts of interesting questions that come up around it.
I think there's a myriad of factors, all of the above. It doesn't have to just be one thing. Like, I think that there's a certain amount of social acceptance that has, like, made people feel more comfortable. But I also feel like there are,
Or is it the widening of the bucket that now, you know, the tomboys of the world are, like, either lesbian or trans?
Well, I think it's a myriad of things. I think more acceptance has, like, obviously facilitated more people to feel comfortable. But obviously there is an ideological push to expand the categories so that it can include people who feel alienated for reasons other than like gayness.
Mm.
And I've seen this happen before, especially when talking to certain friends that I have who are really into certain genres of music or are attracted to certain forms of art and feel weird and alienated. And, you know, this and that, a lot of them came to the conclusion that their weirdness or feeling of alienation was because of the fact that they were gay. When, now that we're in near close to 30, a lot of them are now like in heterosexual like relationships, which is like kind of telling, in my opinion. I think that there is sort of this messaging, this subliminal messaging that like, if you feel weird, if you feel alienated for any reason, if you feel uncomfortable or as if you don't fit in, that must mean that you're queer in some form or fashion.
Well, it used to
even now, like most youth culture, in London especially, so much of the youth culture has been colonized by this notion. Like, there's so many queer nights, queer electronic music night, queer this, just, queer that.
But what you just explained, though...
You feel almost like
though,
you're outside of the cool circle if you're not gay.
If you took what you just explained, like, just described without associating it with even sexuality and how a teenager would feel and what kind of clique or, you know, whatever would that teenager... You'd be a fucking goth kid.
Well, yeah.
Like, alienated, like, you know.
But it's like, it was like before, some goths and emos were gay, but now it's all goths and emos are gay in some way. And even if they're not, then they're queer. So even if they are, like, pretty much for any... And I'm not saying that there aren't people who are bisexual. I'm not talking about bisexuals. I'm talking about people who are heterosexual in their primary, like, orientation. And who, like, sort of... get their identity from the notion that they're like queer in some way. Because like queer now means like anything counterculture is wrapped up with the whole LGBT umbrella. Mm. And I think that it's purposefully encouraged that way so that more people identify with this kind of like political lobby that is forming around it, that now clearly has like enough prominence to like be displayed. And I mean, of course, the politicians in London, because people were obviously like irate or whatever, we're like, oh, this isn't like a political statement in the way that you think it is. It's us trying to show that we're a city that's like welcoming of LGBT people and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, there are ways that you can do that without making it look like some kind of like 1984 situation. Like,
yeah,
you know. Like, there's so much that could have been, like, a big parade. Something that didn't look so ominous and, like, imposed, if you know what I mean. Like, something that was, like, inclusive, like a big parade on Oxford Street.
Well, it's also,
or,
like what's the
big float.
What's the actual purpose of pride? Nothing. Of, like, the purpose of pride, right?
Yeah.
So, like, gay acceptance or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, like, gay stuff is so much in culture.
Yeah, it's hegemonic
and, like,
at
it's,
this point.
So I don't understand... necessarily the need for pride anymore.
Yeah,
like, sure, you could have like a public holiday for remembrance of people that were like locked away or like, you know, beaten and stuff that were
in
the past.
That's what pride's supposed to be about, I guess. But it's supposed to be a celebration of like huge feats like Stonewall, remembrance of like the AIDS crisis, you know, things that really like impacted
but wasn't
the LGBT
it,
community.
Well, I get so confused.
And also
wasn't
the huge historical wins that the LGBT community
wasn't
has
it
made
like
as well.
isn't it homophobic to associate AIDS with gay people?
Well, they were. It's not homophobic to say that the community was hard hit by the crisis, which it was. Even most gay people would say that it's a huge like a dark spot, dark place. Like that whole period was devastating for the gay community and many other communities too, but like the gay community, you know, has a history, especially because like there were cases where people were dying and their loved ones wouldn't let their lovers come and see them,
yeah,
to say goodbye and things like that, like real dark shit, like, yeah, real fucking dark shit. So of course it's not like you have to acknowledge the history or whatever, but like real shit like that, like real celebrations, like real like stuff that's universal, like the whole point of it is that. And I think this is the primary tension within like the LGBT community, is that there are some who are like gayness or whatever isn't this like subversive, transgressive sexuality. It's just like any other sexuality, and all sexuality is good and all sexuality is valid. But then there's another constituency that are like, no, my sexuality is transgressive. And it is outside of society, and it's not supposed to be understood, and it is supposed to be subversive towards the general heterosexual paradigm, and it is at odds with heterosexuality, as in they view themselves at like odds with heterosexuality. I feel like that's where the power struggle is going on between those like two mindsets. At least from the outside looking in, that's kind of what it appears like. But I don't know, I get afraid to talk about this stuff because I don't hate, and I don't hate anybody, and anytime you try to talk about this stuff, people always try to make it seem as if you hate them. But I'm not stupid. I also have like a working brain, and like I can critically examine trends in any community. I do the same to the Black community. I wouldn't feel some type of way if someone did the same thing to the Black community. So I don't understand why like it's this thing that you can't touch. And despite Black Lives Matter's prominence and popularity, especially, you know, during the Floyd era, there weren't BLM flags hanging like the Queen's flag, the Union Jack on the Queen's Jubilee around London.
No.
So it shows that this has like a special prominence even above other high profile identity struggles that have been like going on. But anyway, speaking of struggles, fucking R. Kelly and Ghislaine Maxwell consecutively sentenced over the last couple of weeks. So Ghislaine got 20 years and R. Kelly got 30.
Yeah.
30 years.
Yeah.
And obviously there were like immediate comparisons being made to their like sentences, considering that they were both kind of being tried for child sex trafficking and sort of similar stuff. And then obviously people were like, oh, it's because R. Kelly is a black man and Ghislaine is a white woman. That's why, you know, this is going on or whatever. And I guess my theory is that it has more to do with the fact that she's like a well-connected socialite who rubs shoulders with presidents. Mm-hmm. And R. Kelly's like a washed up like R&B singer mm-hmm. whose net worth is only $2 million. From what I saw, and God knows how much, like legal fees have probably rinsed that out some.
Oh,
but it's
damn.
Not as if he's been making like huge moves.
No, but he has hits. So I still bet even gets like music videos that replay
a lot
royalties.
Of his stuff has been banned from the radio, has been taken off Spotify.
Oh, really?
No one's gonna use his song in movies anymore.
That's true.
Like I think he still was touring at one point. But he's been a pariah for a long time.
Mm.
Like since the Pissy Pied Piper accusations came out in the early 2000s where he like that video emerged of him like urinating.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of been a pariah. So like comparing him to Ghislaine Maxwell is stupid.
Yeah.
And to say that, oh, it's race, when you know that the American legal system is like fucking favors the rich, favors the wealthy, favors the connected.
When
why would you say it's about like race alone? That's kind of really crude.
When R. Kelly pariahed himself by urinating on that young lady, Ghislaine Maxwell was chilling with Bill Clinton, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
So you it's kind of different.
That's I guess maybe you can't necessarily substantiate.
We'll do. This is a new section on the podcast. We're gonna do. True Justice. the True Justice segment where Judge Angie and Judge Jake give their verdicts on
high profile celebrity cases.
On what R. Kelly and Ghislaine Maxwell should have got for their crimes. Because, you know, R. Kelly I find humorous and especially his Trapped in the Closet series and all sorts of stuff. Like, I find his videos very funny. And his songs, and he can't deny he's a great singer and all of that stuff. But then, and I thought it was just, you know, bad. He had some ladies at his house that were of young age, of like around 18 years old.
No, that it was worse
were,
than that.
That their
dude.
Parents were concerned and had filed missing persons reports. But then they were like, I want to be at R. Kelly's house. And that's like, okay, that's questionable. That's certainly questionable. But then obviously it was a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And
like prolific.
Yeah. Prolific, like going to high stuff. Schools, giving talks, grooming children. Like the Jimmy Savile of R&B.
Wait,
definitely.
So he's got two monikers now. So he's the Pissy Pied Piper and the Jimmy Savile of R&B.
Yeah,
amazing.
It did feel like it was on that kind of scale. Maybe not on that kind of scale, but
also like Maxwell had a ton of institutional protection.
Yeah, and it was for a lot longer as well.
Yeah,
and so like not on that kind of scale, but in the same tactics. In the same way, in the same methodology.
Of using his celebrity to like lure and like to groom kids. But even then, with Maxwell, allegedly, blah, blah, blah. But then again, with Maxwell, like again, upper echelons, like elite. But then again, there was an article that came out that sort of tried to explain away why the sentencing was different. And it could be valid. I think it's fucking sus though. But I can't really substantiate like why I think it's sus, because the details around a lot of the Maxwell stuff is still sketchy, and the trial that sentenced her to 20 years, it was about four defendants that came forward.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there's like an entire myriad of things that didn't make it onto her rap sheet in terms of accusations and things that were settled out of court and stuff.
Yeah.
But even then, what the quote unquote legal expert, and that's just me being facetious, but what they said was the reasoning was that Ghislaine was contrite, or at least seemed contrite, but R. Kelly didn't, which was one of them, which I think is kind of like, really sounds sus.
She had like a facetious bullshit apology.
Yeah.
Where she didn't apologize and tried to shift blame onto Jeffrey.
Yeah, she mostly blamed Jeffrey Epstein.
And that was enough to be like, oh, well, it was a type of apology. So that justifies us not using like a heavier sentence, because she could have faced a maximum of 40 years.
The other one that's dubious, that is harder to substantiate, is they said that like Ghislaine's judge was a, you know, not like a punitive judge, whereas R. Kelly's judge had a history of being a prosecutor for like
giving
maybe a
hard
decade
sentences.
And giving hard sentences. So that we could chalk down to coincidence, I guess. And then the third thing on the list was that R. Kelly's racketeering offenses were worse than Ghislaine's offenses. But then again, like I said, a lot didn't really end up on this rap sheet, including the Virginia Godfrey trial, which included sex trafficking.
Yeah, and it's like R. Kelly's...
International sex trafficking, which is also like a huge crime.
R. Kelly's racketeering was like using a kind of like old school gangster tactics versus like Ghislaine Maxwell being able to just pay money, pay families, or even just have the silent... knowing that like they are
powerful,
the wealthiest, some of the wealth amongst the wealthiest in the world, like in that ring of society, and that they're untouchable, and that anything you try to bring against them, they've got friends in the courts, they've got friends that are lawyers, they've got friends that are in all the areas where you're never going to touch them.
I could just be chatting absolute shite. But what it was an independent article where they interviewed it was a legal expert. They wrote an article about the reasons why, you know, it wasn't related to race, and it was just, you know, legal, you know, things that kind of were different between their trials, which could very well lend some credence. It could be true. But I refuse to capitulate to the idea that that's the entire reason that the sentence. I think that there are definitely factors that have to do with Ghislaine's elite status that also play a role.
Well, it's like there's only four. Maybe there's some that
didn't.
I
can't write an op-ed about it because I can't really substantiate a lot of it.
Maybe
but
there
you'll
was,
never be able to, in my opinion. It's
maybe,
like fucking
maybe there
hard.
Was, what do you call it? Maybe there was a lot of people that came up forward for R. Kelly because they know that he's kind of like a washed up R&B singer. And he's touchable, even though he can do gangster tactics. He's
only connected to a certain point. He's not like God. He doesn't have institutions behind him. Basically,
exactly. Yeah.
Whereas, like fucking someone like someone like Jimmy Savile, for instance, had like the BBC and the royal family, and like, you know, it's a lot more
institutional like power and leverage.
And even Jeffrey Epstein during the time where some of his victims were coming forward, his legal team were able to cut a deal behind the victims' backs.
Unlike anything anyone's ever known.
Yeah.
That like somehow
but they didn't even notify the victims when they did. The victims had to find out over like nearly 10-12 years of like fucking litigation before they figured out that there was a sweetheart deal that had been done between the prosecutors in Miami, I believe, and Jeffrey Epstein's legal team.
In that sweetheart deal was something around like like the version of immunity you'd get if you're a spy or something like that as well. Like intelligence operative or like something like that. But it wasn't disclosed who's either. Like the guy was a complete fucking enigma and on this kind of literal fucking like Illuminati level fucking shit. And when you read about the stories, Yeah, there was only like, you know, you can look at a list and there's only a list of about 12 that have come forward.
Yeah.
But you hear what their stories are. Yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, there was like new girls in that office every day he was there. And he would have a new girl every hour. And he would be awake 12, 16 hours a day, depending on how much fucking cocaine and all the other shit that he's doing.
Yeah.
So that's like 12 to 16 girls a day.
Yeah.
And like, that's what like Virginia and like a bunch of the fucking, or maybe it wasn't Virginia, I can't remember what it was. I've read podcasts and I've listened to podcasts and read so many articles, and you've read so many fucking stories about this shit where it's like, that's hundreds of girls.
Yeah.
Hundreds of girls.
Yeah.
Not four.
Yeah.
Not like four. And not only that, but like, there's lots of accounts of her raping underage girls.
Yeah.
With Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So it's not just trafficking. And it's not just trafficking even within the United States. The most fucking public case of Virginia Guffrey.
Yeah.
The most basic evidence of that photo is with her in it.
Yeah.
She is the connection to the royal family. Jeffrey Epstein had no connection to the royal family. She was the one that made those connections.
Yeah.
She's the one that opened this network and did this whole fucking thing, which if you, you know, again, there'll be a documentary down the line that kind of confirms what I'm about to say to be fairly true, which was that it was some kind...
We're giving it for you here for free.
It was some kind of, like, blackmail operation in which he would then have leverage over all of these very powerful people in the world to then probably either connect dots and make them do deals either that they didn't want to or do also what the fuck knows for whatever intelligence agency he fucking was also connected to, which is also quite fucking likely.
Yeah.
I would, like, if someone was to put a bet on that, I wouldn't say they were fucking stupid. Okay. So, and then, and it was this whole blackmail operation. And that's why he was getting all these fucking people, like, around all these fucking girls and making them do all this stuff. And he had photographic evidence of like, bunch of it, like, that has still, I think, either been fucking vaulted away and all sorts of fucking shit. Like,
I don't like to talk about the whole Epstein thing, in all honesty, though, because it's like, it's like a plain sight thing, but when it comes to like official substantiation, like some of it is really difficult to do that. You have to connect dots.
Okay, but officially,
but you're not allowed to connect dots without it
officially
being
substantiated.
As,
though she trafficked a 17-year-old from America to London to fuck royalty.
Yeah,
there is photographic evidence of her
and
in
also,
a flat.
But then again,
in Fitzrovia,
when we're talking about actual adjudication, Virginia Guffrey did claim that Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, was involved in the trafficking of her to Prince Andrew.
Uh-huh.
But she settled out of court. So there's no way that you can really even like, that's what I mean. Like, there's too many fucking loose, all the ends have kind of been tied up, which is the reason why I feel like, what the fuck is the point of even talking about this fucking case?
So I'm saying, you've got to kind of...
I can't be bothered.
So the podcast I listened to was the lady that did the original Vanity Fair article with the Pharma sisters.
Yeah, the ones who were members of the... They were the part of the four victims in the trial that has given Ghislaine 20
and
years.
One of them was assaulted at Les Wexner's house.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that was kind of like one of the big kind of like factors. And I don't even know if this came around in the trial or if that factored into anything, or if he had to, any of his estate had to kind of provide any kind of stuff. That would have been interesting to know. But they kept even all the trial.
Yeah.
Completely fucking obscure, and trying to get information on it is really difficult.
Yeah. Or the names
we had a literal month of fucking 24/7 coverage of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. It's like the most infuriating thing ever, because like, what I've told you on this podcast, I would put money on, is like close to what went down.
What?
But you'll never get that like seal of approval.
Oh yeah, of course not.
Of like, yeah, she was internationally sex trafficking people. She fucking raped a bunch of girls along with Jeffrey.
Like, remember a couple of weeks ago we watched the Marilyn Monroe documentary that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it was sort of covering the latter part of her life up to her death, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like the tapes and the so it was like, oh, we're spilling the tea, the secret tapes that like were never released. And the fucking documentarian all but like directly implies that like JFK had something to do with it at the end in this really on the nose way.
Yeah.
And even implied that that after the coroner had taken her body to the hospital, she wasn't dead during the whole ride, and that there was some like it was getting pretty into tinfoil hat territory or whatever. And that's what it is. It's like the truth is in plain sight, but nobody is ever allowed to point at it without being called crazy, because like the ends are tied up in a way that it's like plausible deniability. It's like,
oh well, you never know. Yeah, you never know. It's like, well,
I just can't be bothered.
We
to
do
play
know
this,
though,
like,
don't we? We all know. Like we all know, don't we? In our bellies, we all know what the story is. We all know what's going on.
I can't be bothered to play this like conspiracy cock tease game. I just like will rather be schizo like by myself. And not scare people, not make people think I'm crazy.
I don't know. I'm sure there's like, if Robert Anton Wilson was alive today, it would be like such. There would be Illuminatus Part 4. Like, how could you not? Like, it's like right.
Illuminatus
for...
Part 4. Did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself?
Yeah. There's no like the.
Because also you're not Illuminatus... allowed to talk about that either, including the fucking fake trial with the two gods that supposedly were supposed to be watching him in his, like, it's all fake and gay.
Oh, no, it's a coincidence.
You're not allowed to say that.
Coincidence, Angie. Many coincidences.
Total coincidence. Like, you're not allowed to say that. I just can't be bothered because there's just no point. There's no fucking point talking about it. But you know what we should talk about? We should talk about Glastonbury, which happened this weekend. we didn't go.
No.
Your friend went, though.
He was working,
He was working, yeah. He was like, you know a lot of people because you're an audio engineer, so you know a lot of people who either have worked or like currently worked at like Glastonbury.
Yeah.
And like they all tell the story about how usually they all book a hotel to sleep for like 2 days after they're done working at Glastonbury because they're like fucking exhausted.
It's pretty intense.
Like what kind of... So these are the guys that are like doing the sound system stuff or like what?
Yeah, they're like managing the stage or like...
mansplain it to
like,
me.
You know, so rigging up the band that's about to come on and then being able to swap the stage around and do all of that kind of
Would
stuff.
Would you ever work Glastonbury?
Not like that. That sounds like a lot of hard work.
You're like, no.
I'll go and flip some burgers for a fucking day to get my ticket and then fuck off. Like, I wouldn't mind doing that.
Why would you want to flip burgers at a festival but not be like a roadie?
It's easy, mate. Flipping burgers.
You can't smoke weed while you're doing that. You're like,
yeah, you can, dude.
It's not that kind of thing. You're on someone else's dollar.
No, you can
smoke weed while you flip burgers at a festival.
Well, not like whilst you're flipping burgers, but you know, you can get high. Yeah, man. Like I used to flip burgers at county fairs and you know.
How old were you?
Festivals and stuff.
How old were you?
I was 15, 16. Getting my money for my first electric guitar and did a summer of like flipping burgers and stuff. We would spend like half the money we'd earn on like all the weed we'd be smoking at the same time, but like, you know,
naughty.
It was okay. It just meant we did twice as many trips to make the money I needed to get my guitar. Twice the memories, bro. It's all good.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, you would just like, you know, get really high at about 5 in the morning and then like get ready for about 5:30, get the truck ready, get it warmed up for breakfast because you're going to serve like all the workers breakfast and stuff, and that's like money that you can make as well, so like you're serving everyone else at the same time.
I honestly would not want to go to Glastonbury. I've never had the desire to go to Glastonbury, and I know everyone's gonna be like, oh, you're such a curmudgeon.
No, I'd go, definitely. I'd go as a punter, or even if I like, you know, if I got the chance to go VIP and like fucking just fully do Glastonbury like ridiculously, like I would love that. Are you kidding me?
Like
it'd be
the
mental
music at Glastonbury.
No, you don't even know the music at Glastonbury. That's the benefit.
No, it's always
it's
like fucking Coldplay and like Beyonce and Drake
that's
and like Top
on the,
40
that on the,
fucking bullshit
on the
and
main,
Lord and like fucking I don't want to fucking pay money
on the
to
main
see that
stage
shit.
Yeah, on the main stage, sure, you're gonna get a lot of pop artists and stuff, but then it's so massive, it has like It's the biggest festival in the UK. It's got to be one of the biggest festivals in Europe, dude. Like, the amount of fucking stages they have. Yeah. And that's what my buddy was saying. It was that, like, they worked at this one stage, and there was another really cool stage next to them. And between the two stages, you had, like, everything you really... If you were into cool electronic music and, like, some psychedelic music or something, you had everything you needed right there with those two stages. You didn't need to go anywhere else.
I guess.
But then you have the whole rest of the festival where they've got, like, you know, proper dance parts of it and fucking, like, you know...
But maybe I would have been more interested to go to Glastonbury in, like, previous year, like, when Amy Winehouse would have been playing, when Daft Punk would have been playing. Like, I feel like what is considered pop music now is, like, not as fun or interesting.
You don't
want to
see Lizzo and her girls.
No, I don't want to see Lizzo and her fucking girls play the flute and, like, fucking, no, like, no, thank you. That's just not my vibe. And then also, like, your mate was talking about how this year there were, like, Extinction Rebellion people were there, and there was, like, this whole, like, we're, like, dancing in a field to, like, save the world. And of course, there was a lot of stuff about Roe v. Wade. Like, there were so many celebrities, like, every on Twitter, like, every day it was trending.
Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day renounced his citizenship.
Yeah, Billy Joe Armstrong threw a big old
He announced he was going to come and live in the UK.
We don't want him. He can fucking stay wherever the fuck he's from, dude. He's so cringe. Like, he's so fucking cringe. He's like...
There's no punk scene here, mate. I don't even know if you're considered punk anymore either,
but
to be honest.
Even then, it's
so.
Just, like, cringe. Like, he's, like, constantly throwing these, like, fake little political tantrums. And, like, I don't know. I just feel like the whole thing is just, like, a way of, like, bougie people, like, consuming the idea that they're in proximity to, like, rebellion and countercultural ideas.
There's, like, an unplugged session at Abbey Road sponsored by the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, literally. Literally. It's so fucking... That's the reason why I don't feel like I would vibe at Glastonbury. It's so fucking corporate, but yeah, it's still so fucking political. You have all these, like, astroturf, like, fake CIA lab-grown celebrities that, like, they grew in a test tube that are fucking telling you about why you should vote Democrat, while, like, Extinction Rebellion tells you that, like, the world is going to end tomorrow unless you, like, I don't know, eat bugs. Like, I don't want to fucking hang out there. That sounds like a fucking shit time. Like, I like the type of places that I like to go are places where people are there for the music or they're there for the artist, where there's that kind of passion. Like, I don't really do clubs anymore because I'm fucking old. And, well, I'm not old, I'm 28, but, like, I'm getting old for that kind of circuit. And I'm also in a relationship as well.
If we get to Berlin, like, you will...
Yeah, Berlin's a different vibe. But I mean, in London, like, I don't do clubs anymore because I'm old. I'm too old for that scene. And I'm also, like, not single. And when you're, like, not single, there's too much, like, thirst vibes in those clubs. Like, everyone's out to, like, fuck each other. It's not really about the music. You're out to pull. And it's like, unless we're searching for, like, a third, like, it's just kind of awkward. Like, it's weird to, like, I don't know. I don't like that. But I like to go to places where, like, people are there for the music, you know?
Just, like, take loads of Mandy and rub up against the cyber dog dancer.
not my thing. But I like to go to places where people are there for the music and or they're there for the artist. And there's, like, a passion, like, a shared passion for a specific genre or this or that. Like, that's more of my vibe than, like, the whole Glastonbury thing. And then, of course, yeah, Roe v. Wade happened and there was all that stuff about that. But it's like, I don't know, there's something really cheap and disgusting and unsettling about the way, like, immediately fundraise. People were talking about they were getting emails fundraising from the Democrats fundraising on Roe v. Wade's, like, overturning. Yeah. All the fucking politicians go out in the street. Hillary Clinton's piping up. People are even saying she may run for president. She's piping up about Roe v. Wade and women's rights, despite the fact that, like, it could have been codified, like,
yeah,
when she had power in the Democratic Party. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just been an annoying...
Well, even she had quite a lot of leverage over the president, didn't she, at one point? So... Maybe like, hey, Bill, I'll forgive you, but there's one thing you gotta do.
You gotta codify.
And then you know what? She could have even pulled that out when she was running for president, or, like, other stuff, like, later on, and been like, hey, I was, like, you know, I still wanted to make an impact. So I, the thing I made Bill Clinton do for me to forgive him was to cement Roe v. Wade,
or
like
being
whatever
her,
abortion
one of her
rights,
primary
whatever the fuck.
Campaign promises when she was running, instead of just "Oh, Trump, Russia, go burr," and like fucking unintelligible gibberish about. Woman,
you know
God
what?
I
want to tell Hillary Clinton. Hillary, was it Pokemon Go to Gitmo, bitch? I want to tell Ghislaine Maxwell that as well.
She's
got a Pokemon Go to Gitmo.
Well, you think she deserves Gitmo?
Yeah, man.
I think she deserves Gitmo too.
I don't know. Hillary Clinton, maybe not. Maybe not Gitmo.
No,
I mean, there's
Ghislaine.
probably definitely Ghislaine. An argument that is like, you know, she doesn't deserve a pleasant, you know, a pleasant rest of her days in some regards.
She's frightening.
Yeah.
She's quite a terrifying lady.
Alex Jones says you smell like sulfur. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, man.
But she I don't know, she did a lot of bad stuff, didn't she? And
yeah.
She kind of, like, affected, like, millions of people's lives in a pretty negative way.
Yeah.
So, like, there's probably, like, more of a case to put her in Gitmo than Ghislaine Maxwell, but I guess what Ghislaine Maxwell did was so much more visceral that you're just like, get to Gitmo, bitch!
Yeah.
Get to Gitmo!
The abortion debate is also one that I find really annoying in America, because it, like, crops up, all, like, out of nowhere all the time. And it's like, haven't you guys, like, figured it out or sorted it out already? Like, in Europe, the average is, like, 13 weeks, I believe, here. There are some parts of Europe where it's like slightly more conservative, but like the average across Europe is like 13 weeks. Whereas in America, it's actually slightly higher in certain places.
Yeah.
And there are debates that could be had about whether or not that's humane, except in very emergency circumstances.
Well, like you got a brother, daddy, or like a something.
Anything
you know.
Along those lines in terms of like fetal abnormality, whatever, rape, any of those different circumstances or whatever in terms of like emergencies. But then it's like there are certain places that have like incredibly like permissive abortion laws in terms of like trimester and things like that. So I guess the Republicans' argument is that the nebulous idea of, you know, Roe v. Wade, the fact that it sort of shifts the topic of abortion into the realm of like this sort of inalienable constitutional right, takes it away from community and voting and blah blah blah, and how it's still not a resolved issue and blah blah blah. And like there's some credence to that for sure, but Roe being overturned does mean that there probably are going to be places where getting an abortion will either be impossible or like incredibly difficult for a lot of women. But then again, I don't understand why, number one, it wasn't codified, and why, again, number two, they don't have like normal laws like we do here. Like, why is it all hodgepodge like how does that work?
I've seen Guardian or Independent, one of the, you know, liberal rags, making arguments that our laws aren't great either, and that just like that, the conservatives could like make it really difficult for women to get abortions and stuff. And
it was
talking about it. So like
I think
that it's just become a cultural fucking talking point that's going to probably become more real for some people in some states of America, but that's about it.
Yeah,
but it's still being used in this way to like
drum up excitement.
Yeah,
for the Democrats.
Or like just talk about sideism and like what the conservatives believe.
But
and
no,
what,
it's like
what
you're
what
literally
we
if
like,
you don't
like,
vote for the Democrats, you are not an ally to women's rights. Even though the Democrats have never fought to secure Roe v. Wade, even though they have no economic platform, even though they're like constantly undermining the positions that they so-called serve. You're supposed to vote for them regardless, because otherwise you're not an ally to women's rights. And that's what like the entire messaging has been, especially like the stuff that was going on at Glastonbury. Whether or not it's these celebrities and singers and musicians who are like making these nebulous sort of things to women's rights, like really what they're saying is like vote for the Democrats. More or less, it's like a huge campaign that was launched pretty much immediately as soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, and the midterms are coming up, and it's this huge like political cudgel, and maybe that is the reason why the Democrats didn't codify Roe v. Wade, because it's this like constant political cudgel that they can use to force people to vote in their favor or whatever the fuck. It's just exhausting.
It's fucking exhausting
and demoralizing. It's exhausting and demoralizing. And anyone who falls for that shit as well is like an idiot, in my opinion, at this point.
Yeah, it's just, it's more sidism. It's more ways to try and make you think that other people that are on a different side to you have fundamentally terrible beliefs that are like anti whatever you believe in.
But it's so extreme to the point that even the people who are... have moral qualms with abortion, but don't want it to be taken away, but don't agree with the laws that are in their state in terms of like the length, or for instance, they get thrown in with like crazy right-wing ethno-state Christian fundamentalists.
Well, yeah, that's
or even
like...
if you aren't that, even if you're pro-abortion, but you believe it should be a state's rights things, you're thrown in with the fucking basket of deplorables. Like anyone who has any questions about anything, again, thrown in with the basket of deplorables or whatever. So like, yeah, it's not just sidism at this point. It's like you're on side or you're like in favor of, you're lumped in with the worst excesses of like, the right.
Yeah,
even
like
people who weren't showing enough emotion about the verdict were suspect. You didn't, if you weren't like performing Disney levels of outrage,
yeah,
you were a suspect.
It's very weird, and it's sort of hyper. It's like this era of like hyper politics, where like everyone's like super fucking polarized. Well, not even polarized. It's like, that's so stupid. I hate that fucking term.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's being pushed to be on side
with
more
one extreme
things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not only...
nuance is completely drained out of
and
the
not,
equation.
Well, not only that, but to completely demonize anyone that also isn't on your team. Like,
but the thing is, the wingnuts agree. The wingnuts agree. Like, the wingnuts on the left, the fucking crazy extreme people on the left are like, if you're not one of us, you're basically a Nazi.
Yeah.
And then the rightoids are like, if you're not like basically fucking one of us, if you don't drink our Kool-Aid, then you're a fucking libtard.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're not, it's like,
then you're a Chaz member,
yeah,
like,
you're a Chaz member.
Anarchity,
yeah.
Fucking, you know, whatever. And it's just like, no, bro, like, this is really exhausting.
It is.
And like, I think it all stems
like,
from...
I do think that there are complicated things around the issue of abortion that don't just entail the rights aspect of it, but also in terms of like post-industrial revolution female condition. Like, obviously, we've only had our rights and freedoms for a very long time. We're now considered, you know, those rights and freedoms were what gave us, you know, membership in the workforce, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, since then, woman has been on the back burner. Like, the traditional domains of womanhood have been on the back burner in favor of, like, woman as, like, worker. And because of the design of capitalism... the perfect worker is like an atomized consumer.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had a bunch of companies, for instance, that came out and they were like, we'll pay for our female employees out of state abortions. But do they provide maternity leave? Do they provide like, you know, a childcare, all the things that a woman would need to be socially embedded, basically?
Yeah.
No. So it's like, yeah, there is kind of this push to prevent women from, or delay women from becoming socially embedded. And it's not just women, it's all adults. Like, especially in our generation, where the milestones of adulthood are kind of held back.
Mm.
So there's that critique of like the culture of abortion. I don't think that abortion should be illegal for these reasons, but I do think that the skepticism towards it is kind of rooted in, the social disembeddedness that a lot of people are feeling, especially because a lot of the people who are now questioning this stuff are young people. And it's because of these very sort of reasons. They see it as like a tool that's being used to make them more atomized. And secondly, also not just like the social, like disembedded aspect of it, but also like the philosophical aspect of it as well, because like, you, as soon as this Roe v. Wade thing happened, like, there were a bunch of videos of people coming out like, I should have been aborted. Like, I was born in, like, this, like, circumstance X or whatever, and that was a terrible circumstance, and I should have never been born. Or people talking about the type of people who they feel should have never been born. And I'm not going to say that there isn't a sort of callous attitude that people on the liberal left take towards, like, life, the philosophical notion of life. There's and you see it in a lot of, there's this sort of a rejection of life, even antinatalist, borderline antinatalist perspectives, especially among the most zealous, like, climate people.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely feel like the callous attitude that they take towards life when talking about it, and the way that they talk about abortion is if there aren't any moral, it doesn't have any moral weight to it. I think that that causes a lot of the suspicion that's sort of bubbling up around this issue, or maybe the desire to drag it back into the public domain and have it be debated again, rather than just being sort of locked away in the sort of hall of constitutional rights.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's a good idea, I don't know. I'm somebody who's pro-abortion, and I do think that it should be a right. But what will happen, we'll have to wait and see. But you can't necessarily poo-poo the collective place that this is coming from.
Yeah.
You know, people do have worries about the fact that that we're more socially disembedded, and people are kind of disgusted about a lot of the anti-life, anti-natalist sentiment that they hear coming out of the left. So yeah, I mean, if you are somebody who considers yourself to be on the left, it's better to honestly reckon with people's perspectives and their philosophical positions, rather than just, like, screaming fascist in people's faces. Because there is truth to certain elements. Like, yeah, the idea that we are becoming more socially disembedded, all of those things, that doesn't mean we have to jump to extreme conclusions about those things, like banning this and that. But we do have to acknowledge that that problem is there, which is how I see it.
That sounds way too nuanced for this time and period, energy.
I know, it's crazy.
Get to Gitmo.
It's crazy. I'm sad that we don't get to go to any festivals this summer, because we're busy trying to sort out our living situation and find a new place, which we've been on, like Donkey Kong, for the last couple of weeks, which is why episodes have been slightly sparse. But we're getting there. But it's eaten into our fun time. So, like, yeah, I can't wait till this is over and we can see some music. And also, we're going to go to Spain with your family at the end of this month.
We'll try and do a siesta special.
Yeah. We'll do a tapas siesta special for you guys.
It might be a phone recording, so you got to bear with on the audio front.
Yeah, but we're not going to lug all of our audio recording equipment to Spain for you guys.
No, dude.
We love you, but not that much.
That's too much stuff.
Too much stuff. And we also have our book club that we're doing at the moment. We are currently reading Carl Jung's Red Book. The first two episodes are recorded. We're still trying to figure out how to put them up, because we used a new software to record them and there's some issues or whatever. But we're putting them up on Patreon for those who missed them. And for those of you who want to join us in our book club, it's been very fascinating. We've been diving into Jung's early life, his career, his aspirations, what drove him on his crazy psycho-spiritual journey, and also one of the most compelling texts that he ever wrote. So yeah, it's been really fun talking to each other and attempting to unpick this notoriously complex text with each other. We even have someone who's like a psychologist who is part of the book club, which has been really useful in terms of unpicking it. So yeah, if you want to join our fascinating discussions, you can do so by joining the Low Society Patreon. We also have bonus episodes, and we also have a Discord where you can hang out with us. And I also have an Angie Speaks video coming soon as well, which I'm working on. So yeah, sorry for all the plugs, but yeah, a lot coming. Jake, do you have anything that you want to plug? Am I hogging all the credit?
I've got an album on the precipice of being released, but I need to make two more videos for the last for the remaining, like, main track of it, and I don't want to release it until I've got that done.
Well, that's not a plug, that's just you expressing your anxiety about a project that you're working
on.
This
is also a shout out. So if anyone that enjoys the podcast also knows videos and stuff, reach out and maybe you can make a video for me. Or maybe I could even pay you some money. I just can't afford the money that all the artists I've been getting in touch with, they're all like, pay me this much money. I'm just like, bro, I can't do that.
I'm
trying to move house, yeah. But I also want to do this stuff. I've got vinyls made and ready to like do and everything. It's just like, but I need these videos. I need the video for the main track made.
So Jake's like, asking someone who can do it for mates rates, basically.
Yeah, but mates rates, like help an aspiring artist, like, you know. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to get it in some galleries
this
and
is
stuff.
This is ghetto.
I'm trying to get it in some galleries and stuff. It might get shown in Berlin, maybe.
Yeah.
There's like places where it might get like viewed in a cool
Jake's,
place.
Music industry daddy, whose name we're not allowed to mention, is doing a nepotism, and you're just trying to get the materials together before. And you're being lazy about it. You could get it. You don't need to fucking bother our audience about that stuff. You can get that shit done on your own. Don't be stupid.
No, I've done my best on all the other ones, and they're okay.
They're
but
great.
I need,
they're
I, no,
so good. You
I need
don't
someone.
Need to have
I need someone that's. I need someone
abilities.
That's a bit more adept for the main one, the main big one, the main track, the title track. It's got to have like an outstanding video, and like I don't think I can pull off a good enough job. So I need someone to come and help me.
Okay. Well, yeah, the call has been made, as well as all the other stupid shit that we plugged at the end. Yeah, come join us, read Redbook with us, support us on Patreon. It always helps. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we shall catch you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.